This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Happy holidays as we welcome you back. Another hour to go. Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Remember, the daily email, Bill AD was just checking it out this morning. Updates on the contest. Go to VSiN.com, enter your email address. It's free. He does a great job with it. Vinny Maliulo joins us, and of course, he's the Hall of Famer from behind the book at the South Point. I'm stuttering a little bit because we were going through some of these games and talking about where they're betting, and I thought what you said right before we came back is something to focus on. You said they took the number with New Orleans. So New Orleans is at Philly, and there's still TBD on Hurts, but a very important tip here for bettors. It's not about New Orleans. It's not about Philly. It's about that number of 7 that was hanging around. The bettors took it, Vin, and now it's down to Philly laying 6.5.
Yeah, when you talk about the bettors, right, guys, you know, you're talking about who's betting these numbers. Don't forget, these numbers go up early in the week, obviously, here at South Point on Monday. So, you know, it's a matter of taking key numbers, right? Professionals, I've always said this, and it's important to remember, professional bettors, they don't bet teams. They bet numbers. And when you're talking about, that game, you know, the Ravens, for instance, 3.5. Well, they took the Steelers plus the 3.5, and they took the Steelers plus 3 in the game you're referencing there between the Eagles hosting the Saints. It was a take of the number of a full touchdown. That's why we're at 6.5 now. General public does not generally bet that early in the week. So the plays so far that have come in up until last night where, you know, we started to see the public get involved. Why? Because there was a Thursday night game, and tying the Thursday night game, especially the Cowboys, into multi-leg parlays, such as parlays and teasers. So early in the week, those numbers get played by professionals. So the public tends to wait until the day of, or until the day of a game that they can get involved with on multi-leg bets.
Yeah, so you're getting a manipulated number. Again, it sounds pretty rudimentary to the three of us, but I think that's important. By the time you wait on Sunday, and most bettors are going to make a bet, Vinny, a half hour before the game on Sunday, so much has happened with these numbers by the time it gets to you there.
Well, yeah, and again, the thing about it, guys, is too, it's a play on the number, and if pros, they don't. It's we're all waiting for what injury news, right? Mainly, right? Look at those two games. Lamar Jackson for the Ravens. You're looking Jalen Hurts for the Eagles, right? But if it's a take of the number, and then they're playing, maybe they come back and they can get off of that number,
come back
off of those key numbers as well.
Yes.
So
yeah.
It doesn't. It's not. You know, it's just a matter of. Or they stay with conviction on, you know, other games too, right? So it's a matter of that. Is it manipulated? No, it's just been played, and they will calculate what they believe to be what they believe to compare to their numbers. And again, these are games that are later in the season too, right? And which games mean more to which teams? I mean, if you look at the Ravens, right? The Ravens are still trying to win that division, so an important game. But you have to figure, right? Lamar Jackson, he hasn't practiced all week. Who's more likely to play, him or Jalen Hurts? Probably Jalen Hurts, and it's my opinion, but I think this is also, possibly the way pros will look at it. They need a win just to wrap up the number one seed, right? If they lose their remaining two games, which they're going to be favored in both of them. Obviously, this one and again next week against the Giants. The Vikings still have to win both games, so that for that to play out to where the Vikings would wind up with the number one seed and the Eagles would lose it, don't think that's going to happen. So again, when you look at that, if you look at the course that teams are on by virtue of the schedule. Then you factor in those injuries, that also enters into the mindset of betting numbers, not teams.
You know, like the game that shocks me is everybody, the number of Chicago-Detroit. Chicago hasn't won since Monday night against New England, I think it was a week 7. You know, they're 3-12, they're 5, and they're not a great ATS team, right? And Detroit, which, you know, beat kind of started their season when they won, you know, it's 10-5 against the spread. They're good at home. They've been able to play better at home. I mean, they're four and four at home. This is a key game for Detroit. There's a lot of motivation in this game for Detroit. Not so much for Chicago. They're playing. I'm surprised so many people are taking Chicago. A lot of that could be when you watch Chicago, when you watch Detroit's run defense against Chicago in the first game, and then you watch them against Carolina. Wait a minute, maybe this will be a good game for Justin Fields. So it's one of those where, you know, the past performance, you feel like Detroit should be the play, but maybe there's something more than meets the eye here.
Yeah, and I think what meets the eye, what's more to it, Michael, and solid points. But you look at, you know, I think, you know, you'll find the answer to your question in the total. It's the highest total on the board this week. It's up to 52. Why? Because, yes, we know that the Lions score points, but they give up points. And right. So when you're giving up points and you can get 6 points in a division game, not saying that the Lions won't cover, but the fact of the matter is so many of their games too come down late. We know they score points, but they also give up points. So it may very well be telling in terms of the total, which is up to 52, which is the highest total on the board this week.
Let's discuss adjustments made off quarterback news. And we'll start with Miami and New England. So I had, before the Bridgewater and Tua news, I had DraftKings open Miami on the road laying 2. They've now flipped it. Obviously, we've gone through 0. New England's laying 2.5 at DraftKings. Other books are showing New England laying 3. But this number opened. Where'd you open there with Miami prior to the Bridgewater news here, Ben?
Yeah, we started to get ahead of it, I think, guys. And not just because, you know, we didn't have the news at the time. It was just the way, you know, current form, mainly by the Dolphins, right, who have struggled this past month. We opened to pick them on Monday. Then an adjustment with the Tua news. And by the way, sometimes that adjustment, guys, it's not just live. Right? You're going to wait to find out, right? In other words, don't, as an operator, you sometimes just have to take a game off the board, especially early in the week. It's not going to cost you overall business. All it's going to do is cost you, taking bets on a number that's not going to be accurate. So. Hold up on the game until you get confirmation as to whether or not he's, you know, the likelihood of playing. Is he questionable? Is he definitely out? Whatever the case may be. But now the game is up to 2.5. You're probably going to see, you're starting to see 3s. This game is going to go to 3, maybe even through 3, right? I mean, we know that also not only are the Dolphins struggling, they played okay in Buffalo a couple of weeks ago in bad weather. But typically, you know, they've not played well late in the season in bad weather, and it's a flip of what happened early in the season with the Patriots going down there in humidity and heat. So here you have a situation, guys, where, there's a big adjustment, and it's mainly due to the quarterback, but it's also due to current form. And not that the Patriots are in phenomenal form either, it's definitely pointing to the Patriots. They're the favorite now with the quarterback situation, and you may see this game. It'll go to 3. Will it go through 3? Possibly. May very well be.
All right, so Vinny, so the Eagle-Saint game opened up at 7. It got bet down to 5.5. Mm-hmm. Now it's back up to 6.5. Do you think that Hurts may actually play the game? Is that why the line's moving, or do you think this is a number play?
Yeah. No, I think it's actually that's an indicator that he's more likely to play than Lamar Jackson, I think, if you look at it, right, Michael? I mean, you know, he was practicing this week. Obviously, you know, quarterbacks are never in contact drills, but the fact of the matter is that he was at practice this week throwing the ball. Again, does he play? More likely than not. And by the way, he may not even have to play the entire game. So it depends on what the situation is, but Eagles win this game. Their 17th game means nothing because they will absolutely wrap up. Not only the division, but they wrap up the number one seed. So I think there's more of a likelihood, and I think that's the perception out there. And I think that this game very well could go back to the opener of 7, more likely than not.
Do you have information you'd like to share with us on Jalen Hurts outside of perception, Vin? Because that's like the 12th time you said that you think Jalen Hurts is going to play. What do you got for us? Come on, give me some. Mm-hmm. Give me the dirt.
I just gave it to you.
The
number is screaming at you, Maher.
I know. I'm having fun. I want to ask you about another quarterback move here. Wentz, So with the announcement from Wentz, I think it was came on Tuesday when Rivera announced that Wentz would replace Heinicke. I had DK open Washington 3.5, and now it's down to 2.5.
We opened the game 2.5, again, getting ahead of it, and that was before the announcement. I just think, you know, current form, too. And at 3, we just didn't like it. Don't like the way Washington is playing. Not that, Cleveland's playing, lights out, but, sometimes you just have to anticipate. We anticipated right on this one, opened 2.5. They took the 2.5, and now it's down to 2. So, look, neither of these, who's got more to play for here? Obviously, it's the Commanders. And, this one, I think it's pretty much two-way here. I'll put it to you this way, though. I do think it's probably more likely that this number goes up than gets much lower than the 2.
I think there's a lot to play for in Cleveland. I think if Cleveland falls flat in the next 2 weeks, I'm not saying Stefanski's going to lose his job, but I think there's a lot of conversations inside the league that there's a lot of changes coming in Cleveland if they don't finish, stronger. And the fact that Pittsburgh and them have the same record with Pittsburgh's roster compared to theirs is somewhat remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Stefanski's coming back next year, though, right, Michael?
I think the next 2 games going to have a lot to do with that.
Ooh, I like it. That's interesting. A little dirt. Got dirt from Vinny, got dirt from Michael. When we come back, we'll continue with the NFL, some of these quarterback changes. Also, we'll get to those numbers on the college football semis. Vinny Maliulo joins us here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks, reconfigured app, so the in-game experience much more efficient for users. BetMGM.com for more information or download the app right now. Make sure you check it out, the king of sportsbooks. Also, sponsor of the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back. Got to be 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, Vinny Maliulo joins us every Friday from behind the sportsbook there at the South Point. He's a Hall of Famer. And a couple other, there was one more. What'd you do with the Stidham Vegas line pre and post with the news here?
That game's up to 9.5. We opened at 6, and you will probably see that game. It's a late game. There's not a lot of belief in Jared Stidham and just what the state of the Raiders is right now in terms of team chemistry and everything that's going on, all the drama. That game may very well go to 10. I mean, it was a 3-point adjustment, and they just bet right. They didn't care. They bet. They laid the 9. So you may see 10 in that game. And again, at that point, it's probably a take, getting a touchdown and a half. But it's been all Niners money so far.
You wonder how if the Niners, do they keep playing all their guys in the game? You worry about that, because once they get control of the game, you've got to feel like, they got to rest. I mean, they can't risk Bosa, Armstead, all their guys. To me, the key to the Niners is, can they stay healthy? That's got to be the key. And even Brock Purdy, they can't afford to lose him. So, you get to a point in this game, do they kind of like call off the dogs and allow a backdoor cover? That's what would worry me. Do I think San Francisco wins the game? Without a doubt. But that being said, that number keeps ticking up. You got to be worried about a backdoor cover. I don't think, to me, the fact that Carr went home and nobody's complained, I'm not sure. I think the media's making out to be bigger than it is. I think when you watch the tape and everybody studies the game, they kind of have an idea what happened.
Yeah.
I think we make so much out of that, right? We make so much out of that the Raiders really don't want to win. That's why they don't want to play Carr. Like, no, the Raiders want to win. They don't want to play Carr because they know they've moved on from Carr. And I think that everybody that watches the tape has the same idea. And I think Carr would say, I didn't play as well as I needed to play because this was a make-or-break contract for me. So I don't see them having a chemistry issue. I see them having a quarterback issue.
Any truth to the rumor, Vinny, that you bought Gruden's house next door to Carr when Gruden moved out of town?
No, that's not true. That's just a rumor and speculation. I'm
deep
quite
pockets.
Happy where
I'm
at.
You know, what I'm alluding to is the deep pockets over there for one Vinny. Did they lay the 13.5 and cover last night with the Cowboys?
Oh, they did. Just about got to 14. It didn't, of course, it fell 14. So that game opened 10, and it was all Cowboys. Well, listen, especially too when you realized. Guys, and we knew early on that this game really did not mean that much to the Titans, right? When you think about it, the Titans season is going to come down to next week. That's their first playoff game when you think about it. They've got the tiebreaker with Jacksonville, so next week's game is the key game. And as the week progressed, and we realized no Tannehill, right? No, all the players that they were resting. Then we, you know, it was a quick move as money started coming in. But that game, we went to 13.5, probably could have went to 14, which obviously would have been a push, given the result. But it was all Cowboys. I know this. This is an example where I've said in the past, Thursday kind of lights the fuse for the eventual explosion on Monday night. And Cowboys teasers alive and well. As are any Titans teasers, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I asked the question yesterday about would you tease the Titans up to get to 20? You know, yesterday I was sitting there almost at 14. You know, I mean,
yeah,
because I think the total, Vinny, was 40 yesterday, right?
Yeah, 40, and they bet the game under, which was interesting, right? Typically, when you have that kind of a favorite. And they're laying a favorite. They like now the general public is all over was all over Cowboys and over. So the thing that mitigated some risk yesterday was exactly that. So we did close it at 40.5 after it opened, 43. So that did save a little bit. But as far as Cowboys on straight bets, Cowboy teasers, and they're alive. They did well, and Titans teasers are alive as well.
Vinny. You opened TCU Michigan. That's going to be the first of the semis tomorrow. You opened it where? It's sitting where? And who are they taking? TCU Michigan.
Yeah, open 9. And again, this goes back to once the pairings were announced, guys, a month ago. And they took 9. They took 8.5. They took 8. We got as low as 7.5. And then yesterday started to see, last night started to see Michigan money. And that's why we went back to 8. So 8. Total 58.5, which is down a point and a half off the opener. That I think will come up to public loves to bet overs, and I think we'll see some over money here. But just went back to 8 this morning on Michigan, so Michigan money starting to show.
Vinny, are these games, these four games, the final four, are they having the same level of interest as in the past, or are they like a lot of these bowl games where they haven't had as much kind of flow and interest in them in terms of the betting because of the uncontrollable element?
Yeah, no, great question, Michael. And here's it's also a difference between casual bettors and professionals, right? Professionals, again, they'll look at numbers and bold. They'll look at incentive and things like that. But, you know, if it means passing on a game, they'll pass on it, right? You don't bet a game just because it's on TV. Whereas, you know, the general fan likes to do that. And that's great. That's fine. But we have seen much more interest in these games, understandably so. So I'll put it to you this way. The handle on these games will be quite strong. They will be bet like NFL playoff games, and we're going to book them like NFL playoff games. I've said that in the past, and I'll maintain it. I think the fact that it's also New Year's weekend, which is one of the biggest participation weekends. You know, there's going to be 400,000 people in town here in Las Vegas, and they're gonna bet these games very heavily. In fact, a lot of these two games individually, not collectively, but these two games individually will outhandle some of the NFL games because also there'll be props associated with them too. So we're going to add to that the proposition bets pages. A full slate of prop bets to go with these games, just like we would on any other playoff game.
Okay, so same question, Ohio State, Georgia. You opened, and what'd they do with it, and where are you sitting?
Mm-hmm. 6, up to 6.5. You're probably going to see a 7 here. I think that's what pros are waiting for, to see if they can get 7 with Ohio State here. I think, but overall, I think both favorites are going to get a lot of betting attention. But again, so far, since we went to 6.5, pretty much two-way, but I think we'll start to see some Georgia money as we get further into today, and then certainly into tomorrow, where these games are going to really take off. And we started to see a real uptick in business last night. Thursday always starts to get things going here for the weekend, and of course this weekend it's accelerated because it's New Year's weekend. So every hour business picks up. And I think that's going to continue right up until kickoff. But these two games will be great, great games for betting, and terrific for booking.
Vinny, I'm shocked that Bryce Young and Will Anderson are going to play for Alabama. I'm shocked that they got them to play. And so when the line opened up, what it was, I think it was at 4, which was a shock to me too, which told me they were playing. Now where is that line? I think I have it at 6.5 and some 7s out there, but to me it does seem like a lot of people are taking Alabama knowing those guys are going to play.
Yeah, I think, originally the school of thought was that we're not going to play, and that, the Tide, particularly Nick Saban, just he's not used to playing in a non-playoff game this time of year. But it's been all Alabama. I mean, we just went to 7 on this game this morning, Michael. So we opened at 3, and they've laid everything all the way up to through 6.5, and now at 7. So no doubt we're going to need Kansas State in this game. They're betting it over, too, 56.5. Yeah, a little surprised as well. But, Bryce Young may be the number one pick in the draft. We've seen a lot of other players opt out. But you know what? It also speaks, I guess, to the culture there. At Alabama, right, to not only finish strong, but also to set the tone for next year. I think there's a little bit of that involved here.
Last year, if I remember correctly, it was bottle service for New Year's Eve. This year, are you thinking the same thing, Vinny? Maybe go to a pool party? What's your plans?
Yeah, bottle service right here in the VSiN studio and at the betting counter. Bottle service on Tuesday. After the weekend.
Have you ever done bottle service in Vegas?
No.
Vinny?
Of course. You got to get the basic Vegas experience. I mean, because you need to know what it's about, so I want to make sure I give you accurate information firsthand.
Oh, is that what you tell your wife? Okay. Hall of Famer, Vinny Melu, though. Thank you, buddy, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Vinny. Thank you so much.
Listeners. See you guys.
Biggest line moves of the week, are they right or wrong? That's not next with Michael Lombardi.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, bull coverage. VSiN's bull betting guide, just rave reviews across the community. You have to be a pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, you've got plenty to go, so make sure you go check it out. When you sign up right now, it's cheap. You get it all the way through March Madness for like $79. So you get the bull betting guide as soon as you sign up and become a pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. Don't bet these bull games without a little help. Now, as we welcome you back, Lombardi Line, I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. As written up by one Bill A.D. in the Daily Newsletter today, we have to give a shout out to Chris Felica, who is not just a great guy, but sharp as they come. So as Bill said, ESPN turned Fox Sports analyst Chris Felica is starting to pull away from the field in the Circa Friday Invitational, which is with a bunch of pros, literally guys that make a living there in Vegas. And shout to his ESPN colleague, Doug Kazarian, as well. Now, I just got it from Felica. Here's what I'll tell you, Michael. There's 10 picks left. If the Bear goes 5-5, Doug would have to go 8-2 to beat him. So Felica's in a very good spot here to take down the $25,000.
Good for him. Yeah, I mean, look, he's been on a roll, and his best bets, and I love the fact that they do the best bets. And now remember, they've had college, too, to utilize, which is great. So, they've been able to do that. But now, because now the bowl season, they can. But for the most part, I think both last week, I have them right here, the Bear was, they're all been using, mostly they've been using pro because of the unpredictability in college. Last week, the Bear was on the Panthers, was a winner. He was on the Chief, which was a winner. He took Kansas plus the 3 last week. You know, and then he took the Saints, and it was a winner on his best bet. So he's, you know, he's hot. I mean, you can't deny that. He's on a roll. He's as hot as Al Michaels was in that booth last night, obviously without much on other than a sweater.
I thought he was going to end up with a tank top. There's a great quote in the Daily Newsletter from Humans about Kazarian and Felica. Go sign up for free right now, VSiN.com. Just enter your email address. So it's down to the Elite Eight. Tonight's guests with Humans are going to be Kazarian, Paul Stone, professional bettor Paul Stone, Edel, Derek Stevens, and Mike Palm is going to join Saturday Bet Prep tonight with Matt Humans, which is just tremendous. This invitational they put together is really awesome because it gives you a look into some of these really sharp bettors. And 16 people vying for $25,000. So good for... You know what? Everything's coming up, Felica. You know Fox paid him. They emptied the Brinks truck to get him to leave. He's been working at ESPN since like 96. Fox came in and gave him that Joe Buck money, I mean, Michael Lombardi.
Well, I think it was, you know, look, what happened to Felica was kind of serendipitous. I mean, like, so he's on the show, he's feeding information to the host as the guy behind the scenes. I've done that before when I was at CBS, and his information was so good they put him on the air, which kind of what happened to me when I started working at CBS. They just slept me on the air. It was the first TV gig I ever had. And so they were able to do that, and I think that's ultimately what you're seeing is he's able to supply. And now as the betting has become more popular and more renowned, I mean, obviously Fox was smart to go grab him and, you know, and utilize his skill set. So I think that's certainly good for him, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Apparently, he's looking at that house next to Derek Carr. I would say to Felica, you could buy Gruden's old house, or you might be able to buy Derek Carr's house. Just hold off on the real estate. Right or wrong, 49ers 6-9.5 at the Raiders. BetMGM reporting 84% of the tickets on the Niners and 86% of the money. So both headed San Francisco's way, and that number headed San Francisco's way all the way up to 9.5. Is that right or wrong as far as a move there?
Oh, I think it's the right move, but I thought the number was too low to start the week, even if Carr was going to play. I mean, look, the Raiders are not only not playing, you know, they're beat up. I mean, there goes Chandler Jones on IR. You know, they lost Perryman, their inside linebacker. He goes on IR. So, you know, I mean, they're beat up, and it's going to be hard for them to match. I mean, this will be a challenge for them to stay competitive in this. I guess the question is as this number goes up, how much does San Francisco want to keep trying to play their starters if they start substituting, get Bosa out of the game? But, you know, this was a game that I thought was a little bit light when it started out. I had this as a San Francisco should have been – I had it at 7.73 when it opened, and now it's gone through that because of Carr. And that makes sense. I mean, that would be – it's at 9.5 now, so that basically 2 points for Carr play over Stidham, because we don't know about Stidham. Can Stidham stay healthy? You know, that's the one thing about Stidham. He's gone into games before and he's gotten hurt. I mean, there was a time where they thought he was going to be the guy in New England, and then he got hurt. And so that kind of ruined that. So we'll see how that plays out. But, I mean, this is a hard game for the Raiders because their talent level is down considering they have so many guys headed to IR.
You know, the one I'm interested to get your take on this one, because remember, Miami opened 1.5-2 on the road at New England. Then we got the Bridgewater news. It hit 3. Most shops are showing the Patriots laying 2.5. I'm not sure the Patriots are a very good football team right now. Is that the right move?
I'm not sure the Patriots should be favorite over anybody right now. I mean, seriously, I mean, with their lack of offense. Now, I know that there's problems down in Miami defensively, you know, in terms of Josh Boyer, how they're running the defense, what they're doing. And it shows up every single week. They may give up plays they shouldn't. The players aren't playing anywhere. I mean, Xavier Howard is their best cover guy, and he hasn't played very well this season. So, but can the Patriots take advantage of it? I mean, can they actually get something going? I don't see how that is. I'm surprised this number's moved to New England. I thought it would stay pick 'em. You know, I know Bridgewater isn't great, but still you've got to be able to cover these receivers and make plays. Can Bridgewater stay healthy? I mean, look, what happened the last time he played? He didn't last, what, one play? Two plays? And he was out of the game. And then, you know, and then Skylar Thompson got hurt. He got, you know, then Bridgewater had to come back. So, and then Bridgewater didn't play well when he came in. You know, and when he came in against the Bengals, he wasn't playing well. Then he got hurt against Minnesota. You know, so it was kind of an up-and-down thing. I think the under is certainly in play. What's it, 42? I think the under is in play here. The weather's not going to be a factor. It's going to be high 40s, maybe some rain. I don't think it's going to bother either team.
41. Yeah, you're right on it. Hey, question for you, and I'm just going to float it, and you can just bat it down. Is there a Mac Jones conversation this offseason, or is it a schematic conversation this offseason with New England?
You know, I put Mac in my bottom five. Obviously, he deserves to be there based on the way he plays of quarterback. And what I did was, you know, I think the fundamental question that Coach Belichick and the staff have to figure out, is this a Mac problem? Is it a scheme problem? Is it a coaching problem? You know, if he didn't have last year's numbers and the production that he played and how he played last year, you know, the way he looked last year, you think, oh boy, we can build on this. This is something we can get going. You know, it kind of fell apart. And so I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's all Matt Patricia's fault or Joe Judge's fault. Mac Jones has to assume some accountability here too. But I think understanding how that pie gets broken up is going to be one of the biggest challenges for the Patriots this offseason.
It's going to be fascinating. Now, you did answer. Mike Palm asked you those rapid-fire questions, and I'll just repeat it. When he asked you about Belichick returning next year, you snap called yes. So no questions,
I mean,
as far as what he's doing.
Look, here's what I love. Get rid of Belichick, okay? The greatest coach in the history of football, okay? Say whatever you want about him, all right? Whatever you want to say about him. Like, it's like, ask, if you know, you know that, all right? Who are you replacing him with? Who's walking in those shoes knowing that you're the man that replaced Belichick because
Impossible.
He got fired or he quit? Like, it's a hard job, you know, and the Crafts are going to want to say, okay, well, organizationally, the Patriot way will continue on. Good luck. Good luck. Now, are they good? Have they had a good year? No. I've been critical of them, and it's hard for me to be critical of them because I'm vested in that program. I believe in the program. But had I been in the building, I would be saying the same things I'm saying out of the building. It's not working. We got to fix it. But we all make mistakes. We all kind of go through it. It's like, you know, you're not the same. You have to continually evolve. And some of the decisions they made in the offseason as it relates to their coaching staff haven't proven out, particularly the offensive line. That's been the biggest problem for me. Their offensive line, which has got some very talented players on it, hasn't played to the level.
You don't make a decision organizationally about Bill Belichick. He gives you an answer. That's the big difference.
It's funny. We kill the Patriots, right? They're no good. They beat the Jets twice. Like, they beat the Jets twice. Like, well, it was Zach Wilson's fault. Okay, maybe it was, but they beat the Jets twice. Like, at some point, you know, and we love the Jets, and it's all Zach Wilson's fault. See, there's that thin line of who's, you know, how to really determine what's going on. It's like when they say, well, Derek Carr is going to go play for a team next year and he'll be in top 12. Okay, explain that to me. Then why wasn't he this year? Do you think the Raiders were preventing him from being a top 12 quarterback? Do you think that was the case? When he had a, you know, well, he'll have a better defense. How about the throws that he didn't make? 30th in the league in completed expectancy. Like, that's a telling number. I put the bottom five quarterbacks in my report this week in that number. All of them are struggling this year.
If you bet the Patriots or if you bet the Bengals, that was one of the wildest rides of the year as far as a better in New England last week, wasn't it? That was wild.
Yeah, it was. I was on the Bengals. I thought that was the line was out of whack, and you held on.
Yep. You held on barely, skin of your teeth. Yeah, I don't think you make a decision on Belichick. He gives you an answer. When we come back, we'll get plenty of answers, of course. Is he going to be fired up today? That is the question.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. I wonder what it's going to be like today. Here we go.
I wonder what ride we're going on next with your boy, Amal. It's Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's VSiN Rewards. Of course, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Earn BetMGM reward points and convert them to BetMGM reward points. Like, here's the bottom line. When you go there and you bet through BetMGM, you get points and you can use those for free bets. They accrue. Or you can convert them into airfare, hotel stay, plays when you go to Vegas. It's the best loyalty program in the game. Of course, Amal Shaw knows it. Go to BetMGM.com or download the reconfigured app. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue, 21 years or older. Of course, one half of Big Bets is Amal Shaw. He joins me and Michael Lombardi now here on the Lombardi Line. Let's go on a little ride with one Amal Shaw. We were just discussing the Patriots and Bill Belichick, and you had a retort. Hi, Amal.
I don't have a retort. I actually agree with you guys. The one point that I disagree with people on is, and Michael kind of said this towards the end, I don't think the season's been as bad as people are making out to be. I think the quarterback play's been the problem. I think if you can get that fixed, I think this team is fine defensively. Think about this. This team has been very competitive. The one game I would point to a negative from a defensive standpoint was the game against the Bears. But other than that, I think this team has been solid. But if you have consistency at the quarterback position, it negates how much time your defense has to spend on the field. I think this team is not as far away as maybe some people think they are. And the notion that Belichick would be fired, I think there's two coaches right now at this stage in professional sports that are unfireable. One would be Bill Belichick. The other one would be Greg Popovich in San Antonio.
Yeah, I agree, Amal. I think that, to me, I think the offensive line has been the biggest issue there. The lack of production, the lack of protection, their inability to kind of have any consistency fundamentally. And that then feeds itself to the quarterback, which then feeds itself to the offense. I'm not absolving Mac Jones. I agree. I think it's very fixable. Because I would say this. If McDaniels was still running this offense with this skill player and there was someone else coaching the offensive line, they probably would be already in the playoffs and have a high seed.
Prior to the hit you did with us here, you were on SiriusXM and you were having a discussion about Will Anderson and Bryce Young playing tomorrow against Kansas State. Right now that number is Bama laying 7. What side did you take with the two?
I thought they shouldn't play, and now it's my understanding they're playing potentially for some NIL money, but I said, you know, if you've got a lottery ticket, do you take the ticket and hold it out in a windstorm hoping it blows away? Will Anderson's a top 5 pick. I mean, look at the 2 years he had. You know, I find it criminal that last year Aiden Hutchinson finished ahead of Will Anderson in the Heisman voting. If you go back and look at the numbers, it's insanity the numbers that Will Anderson put up. He had another great year, the quietest back-to-back great seasons I've seen out of a defensive player that Will Anderson had this year. And Bryce Young's going to be potentially the first pick in the draft. So to me, what are you gaining by playing in this game? I just don't think the risk is worth the reward. And Ben Hartsock made the argument that, well, you know, you got a loyalty to your team. And I get all those things. But, you know, you attend college to put yourself in a position to become a better earner financially so you can get a better job. And that's what they've done. They finished at the head of their class. Now they're going to make millions of dollars. I don't think the risk is worth the reward playing in a game that doesn't necessarily, what does it prove or what does it show? It doesn't show anything for them. Look, you give your younger guys an opportunity to find out whether, you know, Jalen Milroe or Ty Thompson's the guy behind them, or do you need to go get somebody in the portal from a quarterback standpoint? To me, I would sit there and say, hey, listen, guys, thank you for everything you've contributed to this program. We appreciate it. But if I was the head coach, I'd say, listen, you got to make a decision that serves the greater good. This is generational money you're going to be receiving. You got to make a prudent decision and sit this one out.
Amal, are you sure? Are you sure Bryce Young is going to be the first pick overall in the draft? And let me ask it this way. We know Tua hasn't been able to stay healthy. Every time he gets hit hard, unfortunately. Bryce Young is smaller than Tua. Weighs 185 pounds soaking wet. Are you sure he's the first pick in the draft?
No, I'm not saying he's the first pick. I'm saying he's going to be one of the first few picks, one of the first few players taken, right? I believe Houston's going to take a quarterback.
You're not worried about his size. You're not worried about his overall size in a big man's game. So when Stidham starts on Sunday, that'll be 61, I think, of new quarterbacks that have started, which means the health and durability of the position has not been very good. And we know little guys over a 17-game season, a 21-week year wear down. Like, I like Bryce Young. I like him better as a player than I did Tua there. I think he's athletic. But I worry about the size and about how can I count on him week after week, even though they're protecting the quarterback.
I don't disagree with you. And to me, if you're going to take a guy, you know, it was funny. Matt Berry of ESPN told me, he goes, the one thing, he was down at A-Day for their scrimmage in this March, April, and he said, Bryce Young is much smaller than you realize. And he's probably 5'10", 5'11". I don't know, what is he, about 190, 200 pounds? And I agree with you, Michael,
I'm told he's 5'10 and a half, 185, soaking wet. Matthew Berry said to you is exactly what I got from a scout who was in the building and stood next to him. It's like, you're wowed by how little he is. You're like, oh, my God, this guy's really small.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I think the one thing is we see teams take more and more risk on quarterbacks than they have in the past because the way the rookie deals are structured. And I think the desperation for quarterback, when you look at it, you've got Stroud, you've got Bryce Young, and you've got Will Levis. By the way, Michael, you'll have to explain to me the affinity for Will Levis.
He stinks.
I don't
He's
get it. He
looks terrible.
Looks like,
stop it.
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. I mean, this guy, to me, I just don't understand this. Just because he looks like he's got the measurables doesn't mean he can play. I'm not drafting this guy.
Why are you surprised that we can't evaluate the quarterback? Somebody thought Malik Willis was a generational talent. You know Tennessee got solid B pluses for their draft last year? And one of the reasons why, in fact, I wrote it in the column that I didn't write this part, but one of the draft experts who's on every week, every year, said that this draft could be a generational draft, much like the Seattle draft when they got Russell Wilson, because of how good Willis can be. Now, noodle on that for a while. Think about that for a while.
Those people might have been in macro econ and they were grading on a curve. I mean, that's the only way you can justify it being a B-plus on Malik Willis.
It has nothing to do with – it has everything to do – they can't evaluate. They can't see it.
Yeah.
So when Levis comes up as the guy, like, why are we surprised? Like, who's evaluating these guys? You know, it's their bad opinions. They're bad – like, Bryce Young, to me, if someone takes him – I know we all need quarterbacks. If someone takes him
right.
And you put all his positives on one side and you put over here on the other side the ability to stay healthy, the ability to handle the constant compounding, like the risk-reward starts to become a little problematic.
I don't disagree with you, and I like your breakdown of how you're looking at Bryce Young. I don't think enough teams will look at it that way. I think there will be an air of desperation and somebody will make a move. Look, the Houston Texans signed Brock Osweiler without even meeting the guy. And, I mean, they gave him that deal. What was it, like a four-year, $36 million? Or I don't remember exactly how much it was. It might have been more than that.
But I called it the Lufthansa heist. It was the Lufthansa heist. In fact, I nicknamed Brock Osweiler the heist because it was like the Lufthansa. He flew into LaGuardia.
Go ahead. Can I just clarify? The market agrees with you, Shaw. Right now, over at DraftKings, Bryce Young is plus 120 to go one. C.J. Stroud is 2-1 to go one. Will Anderson 6.5-1, and Jalen Carter 6.5-1. So right now, the market says yes. Bryce Young, Michael, is going one. He's plus 120 to go one.
I know what Amal just said there, and he's right. He's got a lot of data to support that teams do dumb things, but. One thing that I think is always going to be hard to understand, you can't increase size. You can't coach big people. And as the great Buddy Ryan once said, there's a place in football for the little man. It's just not in front of the big man. And so I get Bryce Young's a really good player. I get that. But you're talking about you're counting on this him to stay healthy. You know, you're nervous. But this isn't basketball where you can take Trae Young and say, okay, we'll play with a little point guard here and he'll be okay. That ain't the case.
Patrick, Michael makes a great point on his side. It's like a friend of mine who's about 5'7", 5'8". He always says, hey, girls, drink up. I'm not getting any taller. He should say that to the front office.
Wait, hold on. The board's lighting up. Georgia just went to 6 off of 6.5 tomorrow. Is that number going the right way, going Ohio State's way, Amal?
I think it's a tough call. I think the Buckeyes, look, if you're betting the Buckeyes, I think you should play them on the money line as well. I think they've got a great shot to win the game just as easily as they do to lose by 14-plus points. We've always seen one game in the college football playoff that is a blowout. I think, though, the Michigan should be able to roll TCU. I think Michigan's offensive line is going to be able to control TCU's defensive front. I think Edwards is not much of a drop-off compared to Blake Corum. I love Corum's cutting ability, but I think Donnie Edwards is a terrific running back in terms of what he's able to do.
I think if C.J. Stroud plays good, at least C.J. Stroud is an NFL body. You know, if he plays good against Georgia, against a pro defense, pro blitzes, handles it, makes plays, I think that'll go a long way in his draft status.
Yeah, Georgia's 6 across the board right now. It's just lighting up like crazy. I see a lot of people.
I think Stroud.
Go ahead.
No, please, Patrick, go ahead, finish.
I was just going to say, I see a lot of people teasing Georgia and Michigan down. What's your point on Stroud?
Yeah, I think when he has his pro day workout, I think scouts are going to be enamored with him, and I don't think he falls below top five just because of his size, about 6'3", 215, 220, and he can make all the throws. But, you know, I thought Michael made a great point. You see so many decisions that are made in the draft rooms that are just mind-boggling. And real quickly, final thing, I go back to the Michigan game against Alabama when Brady was there. To me, that was the only tape I needed to see. And nobody knew he was going to be this great, but I'm like, this guy could play. If you go back throughout his career, he saved Henson's bacon so many different times, but they downgraded him.
Brady got caught up in the Henson hype. Henson was the biggest thing that ever happened to Michigan athletics in high school. It was the craziest thing ever. One half of Big Bets, other half is Dave. They're coming up next. Michael, have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, all.